Hello, gay men, and welcome to another episode of Coming Inside Out. I'm your host, Mark Dembo, along with my co-host, Brian Janes, in sunny California. How are you, yes. Brian?
I'm good. Yes, we were talking about the weather, which is pretty crazy that yesterday I was in shorts and a tank top,
and I was bundled up in a scarf and mittens and went outside for about 20 seconds. And as I said, with all the snow coming down, I was like the groundhog who saw his shadow and ran back into my hole.
Yes. Well, we were going to record yesterday and we decided not to.
Yes, we did.
So much going on.
And just for frame of reference, we are recording this on January 26th of 2026. And yeah, I think we were both feeling over the weekend, in light of things that are continuing to happen in the world, and particularly in Minnesota with the shooting of Alex Pretty over the weekend, I think we were both just needed a beat.
Yeah, I think we were just emotionally drained and kind of saturated with everything going on and watching the news and just seeing how this is all unraveling on both sides. And just, I don't know, I was kind of shocked and speechless over how the White House continues to address these issues and how they're painting these peaceful protesters as domestic terrorists. It's just absolutely
Although they're trying to backpedal on that now a little bit, now that they're seeing more and more of the backlash, but it's, you know, I'm speechless when you look at some of what's going on. And I know we talked a lot about this last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, but it's the gaslighting. It's how it's in plain sight. You can see it. Was the guy armed? Was Mr. Pretty armed? He did have a weapon, but he was carrying it legally. Yes. Right? He was a believer in the Second Amendment. He had all the right, he legally carrying it. He never brandished his weapon. They took his weapon and then shot him.
Yes.
It's all there in the video. And you can see it.
Yes.
Listen, I think this is it's part of the ongoing campaign to continue to try and foment violence. This is what they want.
Yes, they want a reason.
They want a reason, right? To be able to say we're cracking down. And if you'll notice too, you know, what's happening, it's in Minneapolis. What are the other cities they've targeted? Chicago, LA. Portland. These are blue cities.
Yes.
The reasoning why this regime is trying to do this, this has nothing to do with immigration.
No.
This has everything to do with trying to sow fear in these areas all leading up to the midterm elections.
Yes.
That's what this is about.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw today the Republican candidate for governor in Minnesota pulled out of the race because of what's happening. That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He said essentially he just cannot in good conscience run because of what is happening. That it is, these are my words, not his, abhorrent what ICE is doing, how the government is responding to this. And he pulled out of the race. So people see through this.
Yes.
People see through it.
Yes. A lot of people see through this. You and I had talked in the last episode about different ways for people to be heard.
Yes.
Different ways for people to speak out without having to do their own video or make their own post by resharing, by forwarding. So I was doing that. after seeing your posts online, and I was so saddened by some of the responses that I had received to my post from people that were in an industry that I used to work in, people with kids, people that I thought were, in my mind, level-headed thinkers, people that in my mind would see what's happening as just an outrage and injustice. And the responses from some of these people just saddened me. And I just find myself like unfriending so many people on social media now.
So, what were the responses in support of what's happening, or
In
was it
support of
more?
what's happening, yes, in support of Trump, in support of ICE, in support of, yes, blaming the Democrats, calling Governor Newsom gruesome Newsom, and just all of this hateful shit. And I was like, what is going on? How today can anybody post on social media in support of what is going on? So I found myself unfriending a bunch of people and thinking to myself, God, I'm trying to put something out there to bring awareness. And at the same time I'm bringing awareness, it's like making my stomach hurt, and giving me anxiety over some of the responses that are coming back.
Which is, it's unfortunate that you get those responses, but I would also say don't let that deter you. And to those who try and make that equivalent, first of all, I would be the first one to say, as a Democrat, Democrats aren't perfect. I mean, no, by no stretch of the imagination. We could get into things. I've heard the discussion. Well, you talk about Trump's mental state. What about Biden? You know what? Biden should not have run. He should have been pulled out of that race. Should not have run. There's, you could go back, and there's a lot of blame to be placed around that. Yeah, absolutely. Two
I
wrongs
agree.
don't make a right, And the other point is, it's moral equivalence. Yeah, Biden has had a cognitive decline. There's no question about it. But he's not a malicious person. Trump, every bone in his body from day one is malicious. J.D. Vance is malicious. Stephen Miller is malicious. They take glee in other people's suffering. That's what this is all about. So
Oh,
you
Mark.
can't, it's, oh, what about the right? It's like, come on. Come on.
Let's squeeze some happiness
Well, and that's it,
into
and but
this
that's important, right?
podcast too.
I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, exactly saying that. And because, look, yesterday, we decided let's postpone a day. I was feeling down. I think you were feeling it. You got to go off and have a nice afternoon while I was hunkered down in a snowstorm. But I was having a conversation, like, we still have to find the joy in the little moments, right? It's easy, I think, and I'm guilty of this. You feel like, oh my God, I can't allow myself to feel good or enjoy something when all this craziness is going on. Well, yes, you can. We have to, and we have to be able to allow ourselves the space to do that. And especially, as gay dads, and so many of us having gone through this experience, we've all lived through that, beating ourselves up. But we've got to be able to find the joy and the peace
The
in the
balance,
moment.
right?
Exactly.
You need to be present and aware of what's going on, but at the exact same time, create balance in your life.
Exactly. And stop the doom scrolling. Oh my gosh. Last night I was like, okay, gonna go to bed early, get in bed, and what do? I pick up my phone and I start scrolling through this, like, I know it's an hour later. And again, it's, I say this to for everybody, right? It's like, stay informed, know your limits.
Yes. So
right?
Interesting. Someone told me yesterday, I was talking to them about some of the same things that you and I are talking about, and doom scrolling came up. And he said to me, you know, if you're going to scroll, you should scroll on YouTube. YouTube has something they've done studies, the least amount of depressive stuff coming out of YouTube.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, I'm going to, rather than scrolling TikTok or Instagram, which are the two that I typically scroll, I'm going to try scrolling YouTube and see what comes out of that.
Yeah. Find, you got to find the videos of kittens and puppies and.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so yesterday I went, you were at home. And yesterday afternoon, our local gay fathers group, we got together for a potluck. This group, I think, started in 2020. Our local group, our LA group, started in 2020-ish. The very first time I went, there were four of us at a meeting at one of the guys' houses. The second time I went, there were four of us, one of the guy's houses. The third time I went, we went to a guy's office. I think there were six of us at that meeting. We have these gatherings, I don't know, maybe like six, seven times a year previously. As the group is growing, more people are hosting. But it was so amazing, and I shared with you, I go to this potluck yesterday. We had over 20 gay fathers at this gathering.
Great.
It was freaking amazing. You know, we talk about how everybody kind of has the same story, but different. And just hearing, yesterday, we had a new guy that just found the group last week. He showed up. I don't know. It's those things, those events bring so much joy and hope to me because I continue to see how the group grows and how the Gay Fathers worldwide group has grown since I joined a couple of years ago. And just these people not knowing that this community of men exists. And we got an email yesterday from a guy in your area.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, we're building a group here in New York. And in our Facebook group, I think there's probably about 35 guys right now that are in the New York metro area. And, you know, we've been trying to hold events where we'll do like, you know, happy hour and dinner and then whatever, go out afterwards in New York and try to do that, you know, once a, every few months. We've got one scheduled in February coming up, and I was just looking now and, you know, it's still what, 3-4 weeks away, and like 12 guys have RSVP'd that they're going to come, and it's, you know, so it keeps similar. It keeps growing. And, you know, thanks to people finding our podcast, as you said, Brian, we got a very nice email from somebody here in New York area that I hope they'll, you know, become part of the group. And it is, it doesn't cease to amaze me how many men like us there are that have come out later in life or various stages of coming out. Last week, I was in New York City. I was in down in Greenwich Village. I was actually going to meet my family for dinner. We were having dinner coincidentally down in that area. And I had a little bit of time to kill before our dinner reservation. So I stopped into the Monster, which, if you know, Greenwich Village is legendary gay bar down in the village.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, just for a drink. I you know, go there, you know, great place, very good mix of people. Anyway, so I just stopped in there for a drink. I'm sitting there at the bar, just minding my own business. And there's this gentleman sitting next to me, older than us. So he's like really old. But, you know, we just start striking up a conversation. He's like, yeah, I'm waiting for my, I was like, yeah, I'm going to meet some people for dinner, just having a drink. He's like, same thing. I'm waiting for my husband. He's always running late. But anyway, we get to talking. He tells me, yeah, he was married to a woman has two kids. His husband was married to a woman, had, I don't remember if he said two or three kids. They've got grandchildren. And we just had this lovely conversation. And it's just amazing wherever you go.
Yes.
Just, I keep meeting, you know, more and more people. And it's, I reflect back to when I first came out thinking, oh my God, I must be the only person in the world that's been living their life like this.
Yes. And that's how I felt. That's exactly right. How I felt. It was me and my secret. I was the only man that was married to a woman with children that was secretively gay. Everybody else that was gay was out as gay.
Right.
I was the only one walking around with my secret. Yes. So I met this guy. Yeah. I met him on either Scruff or Grindr. It was just a bunch of text exchange back and forth. It started out with, oh, I'm a single father. He's also a father. He came out last year. We connected, and he and I met at a coffee shop and just had 2.5 hours of nonstop great conversation. It's always so nice to talk to somebody who has just come out on this side and is discovering the support that's out there, the sheer number of people that are out there, the groups of men that are out there. So I love that. And I love that this podcast brings that to people.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really is very, very meaningful. And I think for both of us, it's a big part of the reason why we feel so passionate about doing this, because we know our experiences, and again, just hearing kind of what our stories have been and our journey, if it helps others, then it's very fulfilling, right?
I have something funny to add to this. So I don't know, a week ago, I'm scrolling on our worldwide group and somebody posts that they're going to Puerto Vallarta. And is anybody else going to be there for beef dip? I'm like, beef dip? What the hell is that?
I saw that post.
In my mind, I just thought like a pool of dirty
water. I can imagine what it is.
So I Googled it. I'm like, what is beef dip in the, you know, in the gay community? So it's like a bear kind of thing, whatever. I'm at this potluck last night. One of the newer members there, he's not part of the worldwide group. He didn't even know about it. He's just part of the local group. He's like, oh, I'm wondering if anybody knows anybody that's going to go to Puerto Vallarta for beef dip. And I said, oh, that's so interesting that you say that. So I connected him to the worldwide group so he could reach out to the other dad that's going to be there for beef dip week, which is hilarious. Yeah. But yes, LA like, and this other guy. Like,
is that like pig week when they have pig week in various places?
No, I think it's like a bear week. That's what I think it is. Yes. It's really, well, I don't know. Yes. So the connection that our groups are bringing to people also, I just think that that's amazing. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, I know last week we had some discussion about kind of the start of the year. We talked about that list of 35 life lessons a bit, but you know, I think there were, you know, you and I were talking before, we kind of had a number of things we wanted to bring up that we didn't really get to. Just kind of, you know, part of it's reflecting on a new year. I guess it's still January, so it's still legit, right? But even kind of thinking about where we are.
The 80th day of January
feels like that, right? Feels like that. I know one of the things that we wanted to talk a little bit about, kind of going back to, we were saying, you know, kind of feeling like we're the only ones, and then you come out and you realize oh my gosh, there's so many like me. And sometimes we feel like the coming out is the hardest thing.
Yes,
but that's really only the beginning. You know, actually, I do remember when after I came out and I was, in a session with my therapist and talking about this, and he said to me, he's like, I remember, you know, you feel this tremendous weight in a lot of ways, like lifted off, right? Like, yes. You know, it's like the secret that this if you've been energy. Keeping it from yourself, from others, right?
Yes.
But then everything else, family, what next? What do I do, right? Now, the guilt that you might feel all comes crashing back down. So it's like you've got one weight lifted and another one put right back on you, sometimes even heavier. So, you know, there's lessons we learn along the way yes. around this. So, you know, one of the things kind of thinking about this. So what are the lessons that we're learning now after the coming out, after we've stopped hiding?
Oh, that's huge. 100%. I felt the same way. I felt, you know, when I came out, it was like so much had been lifted off of my shoulders. I felt like I had all of this energy rushing through me. I felt such an aliveness. I felt like I was free of something. And there's the other side of that and how certain things shift, but other things stay the same. And it's like you're trying to take this giant leap, but you're still bound to your reality of where you're at. You know what I mean by that? Does that make sense to you?
So, give an example of what that looked like for you.
Well, it just so in my mind, I had fantasized for years about what it would look like to be in a gay relationship, what it would be like to be out, thinking to myself I was going to die being in the closet and married to my wife, but I had fantasies of what that looked like. So I come out as gay after my divorce, and I have all of these thoughts in my head of how things are going to be now that I'm on the other side of that. And it wasn't true, or it didn't manifest the way that I thought it did. So it was a reality check for me at the same time. It's like, you know, a lot of that was fantasy. Fantasy doesn't turn into reality just because you come out. So I guess I had disappointment after the fact, because I just thought, oh my God, I'm out and all of these things are now going to come true for me and flow to me. And I'm just going to be in this like blissful gay life. That's not reality. Or it wasn't reality for me.
Yeah. I can relate to that in a lot of ways, right? That feeling of there's the upside of
huge upside.
I'm living my life authentically, and I've talked about, you know, for me, realizing the energy that was being spent hiding and feeling like I had this release, if you will, of more aliveness. And that is absolutely true. And I still feel that, you know, to this day. But at the same time, then you start to realize, wait, there's still all the day-to-day of life, of stresses. There's a book I read, not directly related to, but it just popped into my head many years ago, by a Buddhist meditation teacher, Jack Kornfield. And I think it was his book. I could be wrong, but the name of the book was After the Ecstasy, The Laundry. Meaning, right? Like you have this, you know, euphoria. Like if you know, it's like you find nirvana, you find all this euphoria, and then you realize, wait a minute, I still got to get the laundry done. I still got to pay the bills. I still, you know, have day-to-day challenges. And for so many guys coming out later in life, you've got all the family dynamics to deal with, regardless of if you have a good relationship, bad relationship, tough relationship with your spouse, your ex-spouse, your kids, it's all still there.
Yes, I totally agree. I get all of that.
Yeah.
Well, One of the things you had written down was, you're not late. So anybody who's still in the closet, anybody who's thinking of coming out, anybody who's wanting to come out, it's you're not late to the party. It's happening for you in the timing in which it's supposed to happen for you, right? I mean, I was not going to come out. My wife divorced me. I came out. I thought I was late. I was 50 years old. I'm like, holy crap. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, but you're not late, which I think is important.
And I think and I think we all can do that, right? It's easy to look back and like, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Why didn't I sooner? Hey, we can't rewrite history.
You didn't miss your life. You didn't miss it.
Right. It doesn't, nothing any of us did previously in our lives is invalidated because you came out later in life. And I know we've talked about this before, and I'll go back to Dr. Joe Court, talking about the fact that most men living in the closet for a good part of their lives were not, it's not being done with malice. It's not being done to deceive anybody. We're living the lives that we were taught we were supposed to live. In most cases, I mean, I can't think of anybody I've met that has been in a relationship with their spouse, their ex-spouse, where that relationship was purely performative, meaning, oh, I only married this person to shield who I really was. No, the love, the relationship doesn't mean everybody's relationship is perfect. Don't get me wrong, right? But it's real. It's real as far as to the extent that it's real within the realm of who we are. Meaning, it's not, again, it's not performative. It's not, trying to be something you're not. And then when you do come out, it can be easy to second guess all that and say, was that real? Well, it was. Don't, right? Don't discount it. It was real. Why do we come out when we come out? Sorry,
Something
go ahead.
for me was when I came out, I didn't have to burn everything down. I thought, I'm out. I'm living my truth. I need to get rid of anything that's not real. I need to get rid of anything that doesn't resonate with me at this exact moment because now I'm living my new truth. And I felt like I had to burn. I don't know if it was out of guilt, shame, anxiety, what it was, but I really felt like I had to cut ties with so much of my past habits, people, a lot of things,
And where
beliefs.
do you find and how do you find yourself thinking about that now?
Well, interestingly enough, I never follow astrology, but I'm Aquarius, and I hear that I read that Aquarius is quick to cut and move on. So it's like maybe that's just part of who I am as a person. But yeah, I today, well, what's different today is the relationships I'm forming today, the places I'm putting myself today are places I want to be. Places I gravitate and people I gravitate toward, versus in the past, maybe I was doing something because it was part of my son's basketball team parent group thing, or maybe, it was like doing stuff that wasn't really what I would have wanted to have done had I been out.
Well, I think I think there's a lot of truth in that. I would say my experience, I didn't say, "Oh, I'm going to cut people out of my life." I've found over time there are people that have faded from my life as I've moved in a different direction. Friends that we had that, hey, they're not bad people. They didn't, shut me out, but just different, moving in a different direction, the common ground that you may have had at that time. But, you know, when I think about that and reflect on that, I think that's also just part of a natural life cycle of things, right?
Yes.
Those things can happen whether or not you're gay, straight, bi, whatever. It's just, hey, you move on to a different phase of your life. But I think there's also another side of it that I think has become more and more true for me as time goes on, and that is choosing, being more purposeful, mindful about the relationships you form, and saying, hey, is this something that is a positive for me? Is this adding something to my life versus a relationship that's there because of obligation? Or do you know what I mean? Does that make
I
sense?
do. And for I don't mean to sound cold-hearted when I say I cut people out of my life or I burn things down, but I had relationships where
Yeah,
I
you're just a
was,
cold-hearted
I
bitch,
know.
Brian.
I had relationships where I was superficial in my conversations and in the relationship, and the person vice versa was superficial with me. And it's like, okay, I came out as gay. I want to have meaningful relationships, meaningful conversations. So when I cut these people out, it was because there was no real glue because it was all such a superficial relationship,
Exactly.
right?
And I think similar, right? It's like, well, I'm saying, I didn't like consciously say I'm cutting that person out. It just kind of naturally drifted away.
Okay.
They weren't calling me, I wasn't calling them, right? And that in my life has been replaced by more relationships, more friendships, where there is a lot more substance and common ground.
Yeah.
And I think part of it too is as my circle of gay friends, gay men has increased, I find it so much easier to open up and be honest and have real conversations versus superficial things.
Yes, me too. There's so much realness to be had. I don't want to have superficial conversations with people anymore.
And that kind of gets to, one of the other points that we had outlined in our talking points here, the fact that we're allowed to raise our standards.
We should. We should. If you're leaving, if you are growing, if you are elevating yourself, you should be raising your standards.
And I think the question is like, is this serving me?
Yes. And you know if it is or if it's not. You can tell.
And if
100%.
it's not, it's not a bad thing to say, hey, you know what? This situation, this person, whatever it is, it's not to be cruel or mean. It's not serving me. And that can sound really selfish, but I don't think it is, because if you are going to be of service to other people, you've got to be able to focus on yourself first.
You have to heal yourself. You have to be the person. You have to become that person. So, yes, I agree with that. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude because I spend a lot of time on this podcast, maybe not whining, maybe not crying, but definitely being real with where I'm at in life and how I feel the hard things, the hard parts of this coming out process for me have been, even though emotionally, spiritually, I work on myself and I grow. I have struggled with my career. I've had other struggles that have happened. So it's like, oh, I can dwell on those. I was out walking my dog the other night and I had an aha moment because I will walk my dog and I'll think about, oh, I had the house and the job and the cars and the family and all this stuff. Okay, now I'm divorced and I'm living in a townhouse that I don't like. And it's like, doesn't have the same countertops or faucets or whatever that my house had. So it's like, rather than just being grateful for where I was at, I found ways to complain about my life. and then have appreciation for the house that I once complained about or the this that I once complained about. Well, I moved last year and now I find myself being grateful for the townhouse that I was in. Had I had I been more grateful of that, had I been more grateful. And then I think to myself, oh my God, Brian, if something happened where I had to downsize or, something else, would I be grateful for where I'm at today? And I was like, holy fuck, I have so much to be grateful for. And I find myself comparing and complaining about where I used to be when I was married and, everything else going on. And then I meet this guy and I talk to him and his coming out process. And he shared with me that he spent 3 months on a friend's couch. And I was like, holy shit, I'm not living on somebody's couch. I have a place. I have, it's like, so I just putting things in perspective, I tend to
Absolutely.
focus on what's missing from my life rather than what is in my life. So nothing wrong with sleeping on somebody's couch, but if you're sleeping on somebody's couch and you're complaining about it, it could be worse. Right? So it's like,
Brian, I think that's such a great point. And sure, we can all, I mean, I can easily fall prey to that, if you will, as well, right? We focus on you said it, right? The things that are missing, or we focus on what we think the way things should be.
Yes.
And then we put ourselves through a lot of pain and suffering when we see there's a gap between what we think should be and what really is. And if we can be grateful for where we are right now, and forget about material things. I mean, sure, we all want nice things, but what do you really have? And what are the things that really matter? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. And I know trying to take that time and look at the things. Hey, what are we grateful for? What are the good things? Going back to what we were talking about before, even with all the craziness in the world, all the stresses in the world, what are the things right now to be grateful for? I mean, just the fact that we're sitting here having this conversation, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the fact that after we finish this podcast, I'm going to go pour myself a glass of wine and have some dinner, and be able to enjoy that, right?
Yeah, move
Take the
away
time for
from how
those.
we th from what we think should be in our life, because I've also complained a lot about, oh, I want to meet somebody, I want to be in a relationship. Well, it's like in my mind, that's what's missing, and I think that that's what I need. Maybe it's not what I need. Maybe what I need
What
is
you're
to be where I'm at right now and stop complaining about it.
what you bring to mind, or what you're bringing up to, brings to mind something that I've been thinking a lot about myself lately. And that is, kind of again, the whole coming out process. And I think for many of us, you go through this gay adolescence, this rebirth, this rejuvenation, and that can look different for everybody. Whether it's saying, "Hey, I'm just going to go and have endless hookups. I'm going to go out and party and go to all the gay bars," whatever. Right? It can look different for everybody. And I've, certainly had my share of all of that. And lately, I find myself, maybe it's because it's the middle of winter and it's cold and I don't want to go out, but yeah, feeling like I've had evenings where I'm like, I've had friends that say, "Hey, let's go out. Let's go to this bar in the city, or let's go to this club," and I'm like, and part of me is like, "Oh, I got to do that. I got to do that." It's like, it's that FOMO. I've got it. It's like, if I say no to going out and having a gay night out, well, wait a minute. Why did I do all this? I'm not being gay enough. But then I'm like, no, you know what? It's okay for me to just stay home and watch a movie or read a book or talk to my boyfriend or talk to a friend or and be grateful for that, that I can do that.
Or just give yourself an emotional break. Right? From worry, turn it all off and just
Watch and it's okay. Mindless. That's it too. It's okay to let go of some of it. Exactly. Yes. It's okay to just let go of it and go watch Heated Rivalry and, you know.
Yeah. Which I still enjoy have that. Not seen.
Or
I still have not seen Heated Rivalry. Yeah. I need to, it's on my bucket list. Yes. So I must. I spend time in my head. I spend time complaining. You know me and my complaining. Last night, went to this potluck. Afterwards, we went to this gay bar in Los Angeles. I've been trying to drink less, and there was a guy near us that was smoking a joint. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I would rather than having a drink, I'd love a hit of that joint. So I walked over to him, and I'm like, hey, can I have a hit of that? He gave me a hit of his joint. Let me tell you, that just like freed my mind so much. I was in such a good mood. I didn't drive. I had a designated driver that I was with.
Uh-huh,
and so
yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I came home and just like I just felt so much lighter in my mind. I was like, oh, I had so many happy thoughts versus like have to do's and needs and musts. And I was like, oh, it felt so good. So it was definitely a needed break.
The other thing too, just kind of thinking about being grateful and just kind of being where you are at the moment. Sometimes it's okay to feel crappy too.
I agree with that.
Like if you feel crappy about something, sometimes we make ourselves feel worse because we beat ourselves up because we feel crappy. Like I'm having, a down day and then you beat yourself up because you're having a down day, right? Just like say, hey, you know what? This is where I'm at right now. You know, we all go through, listen, as good as things might be, I look at my life and I'm like, hey, I've got, and I've talked about this before. I still have a, great relationship with my family. We see each other and that's phenomenal. But there are times where I'm be like, wait a minute, what is this? What is this life I'm living now? And it's easy to like go inside and say, oh my God, I fucked everything up. I screwed everything up. There are those moments. And it's okay to say, that's what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
And just
recognize recognize you're feeling it. Allow yourself to feel the feelings rather than stuff them down or deny them. But
and don't also beat yourself up because you're feeling it. Don't say,
Yeah. And also have the ability to move on from that. And not just live in that space. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Totally agree with that.
So, hey, as always, Brian, it is such a great conversation. And I'm really excited. I know we've been talking about this for some time, but we are lining up some guests to be joining us on the podcast. I think everybody be really excited. One of them is a gay sex coach, so we'll have lots of questions for him, kind of exploring coming out later in life, all the things that are related to relationships and sex and how we kind of navigate that whole world. We're also talking with some of our other gay dad colleagues that have great stories to share, so we'll have some great conversations with some other great friends coming up. So, cause I know, hey, after a while, everybody's just tired of hearing us yap away,
but just good conversations.
Give people something else. Yes.
Good conversation with these dads. They are funny. Yeah. They bring a lot of humor to the conversation. So yes, that's excited to have them on. And also, don't forget, we stream on almost every platform. We're big on YouTube. We're big on Apple. We posted a little promo that we were in the top 10 on Spotify for Up and Coming a couple weeks ago. So our Spotify finally took off. It took about 2 years for it to gain some
Yeah.
traction, but we're getting a lot more people on Spotify, iHeartRadio. We have a Facebook page, we have an Instagram page, we have a TikTok page where you could find some of our content. You can write to us at cominginsideout@gmail.com. If you write to us, we will not reveal your names, we will not, reveal your personal information, but if you want to share part of your story or if there's something that you'd like to share with the other listeners, we'd love to for you to write in and us be able to share that, right? What
Yeah.
else we got?
And
Anything else?
for all of our listeners as well. Well, I'll just say for all of our listeners, help us spread the word. We want to reach
Yes.
more and more people. And we know we hear from others who may not be gay dads, but they still find the conversation useful. So like, share, comment, that helps spread the word on the podcast. Hey, listen, we're not making money off this deal, so this isn't about us trying to make more money. This is just about wanting to get this out there in a broader way and reach as many people as we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Mark, I always have such an amazing time doing this podcast with you. Thank you so much, buddy.
Likewise, and I would say stay warm, but you're already warm out there, so.
Yes. All righty.
All
Thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.
right.
All right.